Welcome to Punk Frockers, a community sewing podcast brought to you by Jenny Hassler and Beverly Baptiste.
Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
I am doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great, too. Got my coffee. Ready
I've got
to have
my
a little
water
sewing chit chat
and my Smarties.
Where'd you get Smarties?
Turns out you can buy a 5-pound bag if you want from Amazon.
You can. I think Smarties is something you just pick up somewhere, like somebody had.
I wish I was kidding. No, I think they often have them at like convenience stores. Oh my gosh. But I bought something that I took a lot of effort in. So I put it into my cart and then I kept adding multiples to see when the price for shipping would change.
Okay.
And then I stopped when it exceeded the flat rate shipping price. I bought 4 packages of Burgers cookies.
Oh, did you? Did you?
They're supposed to come this coming week.
Okay, I know we've probably mentioned this on the show before, but not everyone has actually listened to every single episode. Burger cookies are these cookies that are made in Maryland, and they are just famous to this one area, and they're basically half cookie, half fudge. They're a circular cookie that is like, it's kind of almost, it's not a sphere.
Well, it's a cake-like texture cookie.
Yes.
And it's domed. Yeah. It's got a slight dome to it.
Yeah, on both sides, right? Like there's a dome to the cookie. So they cook the cookie and then like they put the, and then it's equal, the fudge that's on the other side. And if you pick up a package of burger cookies, you will be surprised at the weight of it. It's very heavy. They're delicious. And wonderful. I'm so glad you got some. I would have sent you some.
Well, I was looking for something. And then I suddenly thought, oh my God, I should buy those. I'm going to share a pack with my workmates. And I'll share with Mark, I guess. But we're very excited. He actually doesn't know. It'll be a surprise.
That'll be quite a surprise.
But yeah, I just kept adding them and waiting to see when the weight would change it to a different shipping value. And then I stopped. So.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Oh my goodness.
So what have you been sewing?
So not much. What I have done is make about 4 versions of the garment that I've designed for Taco issue 13, which will come out in late 2024. So the deadline is sort of end of December for having my sample made and having my instructions written up. And I finally just sat my butt down and took 3 hours to take my bullet point instructions that were very much like Style Arcs instructions, you know, sew body, add sleeves, put on the pants, add a sock, some gloves. You want gloves? Like whatever the really basic. Yeah. I finally took those and worked them out. Like I copy pasted them into a document and then started adding there are specific rules about how you write your pattern up in terms of formatting and language and things like that. So I had those documents open side by side and just started one instruction at a time doing it. And what I discovered is I don't read instructions enough. So I don't really, I think, know what the language looks like. Yeah. So as I'm doing it, when I'm like at the point where you're putting the ear flaps on or whatever, I Googled instructions for sewing ear flaps. And then I'd find 5 or 6 short summaries in the Google answer and I'd read them all through. And then I'd go ahead and try and write something up of my own now that I know kind of how people say it. Like what matters to the people describing it.
So I have a good suggestion for you next time, which I wish I had told you this before. ChatGPT.
That never occurred to me.
Yeah, it is amazing at that stuff. Like you'd be like so surprised that it would know, like, that seems too niche for it. It's not like,
I'll have to try it next time. Heck, I may try it this time with what I've got.
Yeah. You could put in the, say, here's this, and can you improve these instructions, sewing instructions, and see what they do. But anyways, it's also very helpful to folks that maybe don't have a lot of skill with writing cover letters and stuff for job applications. Yeah. By the way, if you put in the job description, say, and your resume and say, can you write me a cover letter? It will.
That's pretty exciting. I hadn't thought of that. I wish I had.
Yeah.
But got it done is really the big thing. And I sent it in.
Awesome.
And so now I'm just waiting for edits, and they never read what you send them first. Like, I send it in and 2 days later I get a response that says, hi, thank you so much. We're very excited. And we'll let you know if we have any questions. And so I'm waiting for another 2 or 3 weeks for the deluge of questions and or edits. So, but it was terrifying, and I finally did it. I put it off and put it off, and I finally did it. What have you been doing?
Before we get to that, I want to say last night, so as we're recording this, HBO has just added Barbie to their lineup. And so we watched the Barbie movie last night. And I have to say, speaking of your taco pattern, your jet pattern, the one with the puppy sleeves that's straight on the bottom, but puppy sleeves, I think they must have used that for Weird Barbie. Like,
it is very much like that.
Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, Weird Barbie's wearing Jenny's dress.
Which means now if you want to be Weird Barbie, or anyone listening wants to be, you have a pattern for it.
Yes. If you want to do that for, you know, Halloween or something. Yeah. Okay. So, as far as sewing, I have started on a pair of relaxed fit chinos. I was going to make them using my jeans pattern, but I decided to make some relaxed fit pants. I had a very interesting thing. Like, I have some pants that I made previously. It's not a size inclusive pattern at this point. But I, like, I think it'll be updated, but it's not yet. So I'll just talk about, like, anyways, they, this pattern, it fits me okay. So I decided to lay it out next to my, my block that I made in Brooksanne's class. And I was just stunned at the difference in the crotch curve. So I know that, you know, the top down center out method says that kind of the curve doesn't matter that much, that the length of it matters.
Right.
But I notice a difference in the shape. And I think this is because I have such a boxy shape. Like, most crotch curves are a curve like this, and my body's more like a Lego piece, you know?
Right. Like,
so, it actually, I think, makes a difference in the way, it definitely makes a difference in the way I sew them. It's interesting, underneath the fly, the fly portion, it's usually like all the examples I see in all the other patterns, there's like a slope down sort of like this, and mine goes like this, like,
right.
It's like so weird. So, anyway, I decided to make this from my relaxed fit block.
Yeah.
And I've made the pattern. I think there's something left, but the pattern, the features of my new pattern have slash pockets in the front. It's a plain front, no pleats. I'm moving the darts around so that there's no pleats in the front. There will be pleats in the back, darts in the back, and welt pockets.
Okay.
And then a 1.5 inch waistband, and then zip fly, and I'm going to put deep hems on the bottom. So I've got it all planned out, and I'm excited to make my mock-up for it. I'm going to have belt loops too.
Okay.
I like to wear a belt.
No, that's amazing. I'm so excited for you and the way you're able to now really make pants that do what you want.
Yeah. I'm excited.
That's amazing. You want to talk about new patterns?
I sure do.
Well, our first new pattern is Itch to Stitch's Hepburn Turtleneck, which seems like it must have an influence there. I'm going to go with Audrey for this one, but you know, it is absolutely a lovely turtleneck. If a turtleneck is a thing you can do, I know a lot of folks sort of struggle with something quite that close to their neck, but it is really cute and really simple and really basic. And it's intended for a light to midweight knit fabric, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's a close fitting turtleneck. So it would be a great thing for if you like, if you want something for under your, like under your tape jump, but romper, you could use
absolutely.
So I think it's a nice pattern. It's just, it has nice directions. It has usually different choices for, I guess not, maybe the knit they probably won't have, I don't know if they'll have bust options, but they do have nice instructions and, you know, a predictable kind of format of their patterns. So, The next one's interesting. So I don't know. I'm kind of confused by the pattern company thing, but do it better yourself has started Copper Creek Patterns.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what the difference is. This skirt is actually listed as a child's pattern in Do It Better Yourself, but it's called the Enchanted Overlay Skirt. It is drafted for up to a 64-inch waist.
Right.
Which is a really nice size range. And it uses 58-inch wide, lightweight woven fabrics such as satin, silk, embroidered sheer chiffon or tulle, satin lining, taffeta lining, and similar fabrics. And basically, it makes this overlay skirt that you can, like, the example that I've posted in the show notes is a polka dotted, it looks like maybe that it's a like a organza with polka dots on it, and the polka dots appear to be like a, you know, thicker than, you know, heavier, maybe they're felty or something. Anyways, it's a black one over a black skirt, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I think what's the only thing that's vaguely confusing to me, I'm assuming you have to make two skirts. You've got an underskirt and an overskirt. And so I think it's two separate pieces, but it may not be. It may be all sewn together. And I just couldn't tell that from what I was reading.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
This says, yes.
Well, it says there's a lining fabric, so maybe. Yeah.
It says the Enchanted Overlay Skirt is a chic pairing of a peekaboo circle skirt lining under a flowing gathered circle skirt.
So you're making both skirts and putting one waistband on them.
Yes. So yeah, that's really cool. That's good.
That's more practical.
That's better than two skirts. Yeah.
Yes,
two
it skirts. Is.
Yeah. Two waistbands is no good. Yeah. That's
so
good.
Yeah, I like that.
That's cool.
That is pretty cool. And that's something I'm always wanting to do something with sheer. And I think the thing that usually slows me down is I'm looking at dresses and I'd have to make a separate dress to wear with it.
Yeah, so right.
I never quite get around to it. You know, this looks like a great way around that.
I think that would be kind of a cool thing for you because you like this kind of stuff. If you made like a, now I know maybe not a one piece, but two piece, similar to a bodysuit, like a, you know, and then a sheer one over top.
Oh, I agree. I think that would be really fabulous. There's a pattern whose name I'm forgetting right now, but there's a pattern for doing that where it's got little legs on it. So it comes down like bike short length sort of legs. And it's a unitard, I guess is really what they're called, right? A unitard like that, that I've wanted to sew up because I think it would be really cute under sheer dresses. So
I think it would be better to make those as two separate pieces because under a dress, like what's the bathroom?
Oh, no, I know. Yeah. You'd have to have the snap crotch. Yeah, I know. That sounds terrible, right?
Yeah, it sounds terrible. Yeah, it's the separate pieces would work fine, too. Okay. So we're here to talk about our new theme for January.
What is that theme, Beverly?
It is PF New Year's resolutions. So we were imagining sewing related New Year's resolutions, but listeners can share any ones they want. The more unconventional, the better. Like if you're, you know, if you're planning on, taking more naps this year, that's perfectly acceptable. You know, whatever kind of intentions you have for the year, we thought it might be fun to start the year this way. Do you have, any that you're thinking of?
So I've got plans more so than resolutions. I don't typically resolve because when I do, I definitely fail.
Okay. And
so I tend to make plans, and plans, of course, can be adjusted according to what you need. It's like a traditional piece of plans. Resolutions feel like they're one and done. It's like a budget. You made a budget, you either hit the budget or you didn't. You make a resolution, you hit it or you don't. And I'm excited for people who don't think that way, but that is how my brain thinks of it. And so I trick myself by calling them plans. That way I can go any sort of a direction. And I'll just lead with noting that more naps always in the plans. So for the last 6 months or so, I've put a nap on the calendar on weekends so that I will hopefully pause what I'm doing when I look at my day and say, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to take a nap right then, because I would like to start building more naps in. I think
are you a good napper?
I'm like a terrible napper. It's hard for me to fall asleep. I don't always feel great when I wake up. So I want to try and make them work for me, even though they haven't historically.
I'm a terrible napper. Like if I do nap, it's because sometimes I nap after we do recordings because it's early. But in general, it's like we did like a half marathon or something, and like I come or I'm sick. And then I nap for like 2 hours and then I'm ruined, right? Jim can fall asleep in 2 seconds and sleep for 20 minutes and wake up. He's like he's a champion napper.
Well, so when I nap, if it's just me napping, I always give my husband instructions. I'm like, I'd like you to come and wake me up in no more than an hour. Like that's the limit to my nap. I do put a time limit on them. If he's not joining me, I prefer that he wake me over an alarm, but I'll use an alarm. But if he comes in to wake me up, he'll like rub my shoulder gently and like bring me out of it in a way that isn't like, I don't know, feel hostile. Like when an alarm goes off and you're like, what the hell? Like it's, you know, it's much nicer than that. If we're napping together, we usually set a little alarm. That way we can end the nap before the 2 hour death mark where you know, you've slept so long that the rest of the day will be garbage. So I'm trying to learn how to nap better because I'd like to be able to nap. And I acknowledge that nap doesn't always mean sleep for me. Sometimes what it means is I'm just going to lie down. I'm going to cuddle with my pillow or my partner. And I'm going to relax and not do something.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it means more not doing anything. And that includes my phone, like not doing anything more than necessarily sleeping. But if I sleep, that's a bonus that I accept. So that's one of my plans for the new year is to get better at naps.
That's a smart one. What else?
Yeah. I am also going to start brushing up on my Spanish more. I had been doing Duolingo, but I think that it took me as far as it's going to in terms of recalling my middle, high school, and college Spanish. And so I'm at the point where I'm looking for ways to become more conversationally fluent. And I've identified a few tutors that I can work with remotely via Zoom live in the regions of Mexico that I'd like to live in. So I have that as a possibility. My husband is going to take Spanish classes at the community college starting in January. He's never had any Spanish, but he grew up in Miami. So he has some working knowledge, just mostly the naughty words because he was a teenage boy. So we're hoping to get him some of the words that might be more useful. But I'm also looking for like a colectivo in Asheville where people get together and talk in Spanish to practice their Spanish for different purposes. So I've got a bunch of different ways I want to do this, but my goal for 2024 is to have plans in place that are systematically helping me to become conversationally fluent. Right now, one of my big hangups is I get nervous when I'm talking to someone where using Spanish would be a reasonable choice. one of our favorite food trucks. We've had some great conversations with the owners who are here from Central America and have had this truck for many years. But I'm even embarrassed when at the end I just say gracias and move on. Yeah. Like I feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I know that Kati would be so pleased to listen and to help me, or at least to be encouraging mm-hmm. if I were to speak in Spanish. So I have to, that's the goal, is to become better at that. Right.
Yeah. I think that that's something that, you know, that a lot of English speakers struggle with, because basically, you know, wherever we go, we've been able to speak English. And so it's difficult. It's scary to speak another language because we think, and maybe, you know, I mean, I had a problem too. Like when I was in high school, I took French and I had a French exchange student, and he was very critical of my French. And by the way, his English wasn't perfect either. And so that made me more nervous, you know? And so I think that, you know, I'm saying this is all based on my interaction with a teenage boy, you know? So I have to kind of get over that. But I think that's a great thing to do.
And the folks at my factory that I'm friends with who are native Spanish speakers are always telling me, no, it's okay. We're excited when somebody's trying to learn our language. We're not critical or making fun of you or anything else. We're just excited that you're trying. And I try and remember, for many people that would be the reaction. And certainly for me, I'm never feeling critical when someone's speaking to me in less than perfect English. I'm always thinking, oh my God, that's so great that you've got that much English. What an amazing thing. And so I try and remember that.
Do you have any sewing plans?
I'm going to take Brooks Ann's skirt class. I am going to take Brooks Ann's skirt class, and I'm going to take it seriously.
That's awesome. And you know, I think after the skirt class is tops class. And with those two together, you make a dress, right?
I got dresses. Yes. I'm so excited. I'm going to end up taking that. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I'm going to end up taking the pants class too, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
But it starts with skirts to see whether or not I can even properly take the time to do it and get into the spirit of it. And I'm hoping I can.
Well, and one thing that Brooksanne always says is, like, you do not have, there's no time limit on this. You can, you know, I like doing it along with the class because that's how I am. But, you can take your time with it. You don't have to be in a rush. You don't have to finish up at a certain time. Most of the class doesn't. They take their time with it. But if you finish that and then you take the tops class, we'll be in tops together because I'm going to take the tops class in March.
Awesome.
It'll be fun.
Well, I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to it. And that's really part of the final one, which is, I think, part of my plan from last year as well, which is to be more thoughtful in how I sew for myself. I think especially with the move into a smaller apartment, with knowing that we're planning to retire to Mexico in the next few years, that it's even more critical that I be considering what I'm making and how I intend to use it in my future, or that I'm making things where I know my purpose in making them is to wear them for a little bit and sell them, which is also okay. But I want to be able to identify that so I can make better choices about how I use fabrics and how I select fabrics and things like that. So I'm planning to be more thoughtful in my sewing. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, I also don't really make formal resolutions, but I definitely reflect on the year and set intentions for a new year.
Yeah.
And for my sewing, I'm planning, like, one of the things I was thinking about is planning to use my serger less. Now that's, it's funny because since I've gotten this new sewing machine, I've moved the serger, to a different location. So I have to pull it down when I use it. Okay. So that helps actually, because it's like, well, how can I do this without the serger? Is there a finish that I can do without that? That'd be satisfying to me. And so why do I want to use my serger less? And part of that is because Brooksanne talks a lot in her classes about the mark of the maker. And, you know, sewing things where you can see the maker in it. And, you know, the serger is a great tool, and I'm not, there's no judgment there. I mean, I think that the serger works great as far as finishing seams that you don't have to worry about. But I also love this idea of, like, she does things like, you know, like a zigzag in pink, you know, to finish seams, and just this, you know, these old ways of doing things before people had, most people had sergers. And it just, some of it just looks really lovely to me, and I like it. And, you know, it allows you to do, like, I don't particularly love serging the sides of skirts before I put them together. So what I would normally do is just serge the seam together and push it to the back. But, you know, sometimes it's nicer to have the seams pressed open. And anyway, that's one of the things that, that I have for an intention. I definitely plan to design my own patterns more and buy fewer patterns. So, you know, I think, like, I, because I'm having these blocks now of what I, what fits me perfectly, I kind of feel like I want to just, if I see a style I like, then just create that in the garment based on my own block, rather than buying a pattern and printing it, you know, whatever, getting it all cut out and everything, and then adjusting, doing all these adjustments.
Right.
It seems like a more satisfying thing to me to go, oh, I like this feature, I'm going to put that into a block I already know fits me. So that's a, you know, whatever. The other thing with sewing is that I would like to document this sewing process more. I think that especially now that I'm kind of in this skill building phase, I would like to be, I wish I had better documentation of my early makes.
Right.
And I do have, like, photo evidence through Instagram for most of that, because I posted a lot on Instagram at that point. Now I'm hardly, I don't post very much, but I'd like to document it more and maybe share a bit more of it. Like, anyways, I'm planning to try to share a bit more, but only if that feels good, because if it doesn't, then I just won't. So it's an intention, not, you know, not a restriction on myself.
That's really good, because especially when it comes to sharing, there's a lot of external pressures around how to interact with audiences. And so keeping in mind that you get to set the rules is really important.
Yeah. So as far as my life goes, there's one thing I'm keep trying to tell myself when I get kind of ramped up about things is quote, just to let things roll off me like water off a duck, you know, like those kind of things. I'm trying to, it's kind of a little mantra in my mind, like water off a duck in my, you know, because honestly, most of the things that I get ramped up about, they don't matter. And they don't, you know, people say, think about, will this matter in 5 years? It probably won't matter in 5 minutes. You know, like, don't, you know, trying to, you know, do that. But also just pausing, resting, and enjoying the moment I'm in. That's a constant. That's every year my intention. And I'm just kind of high strung, so I have difficulty with that. But, and then the things that have been working for me a lot lately that I would like to see more of the same for myself is Jim and I started doing our races. We walk them quickly instead of running them. And mm-hmm. it's been more enjoyable for us. I mean, we do half marathons walking, like very fast walking, but still walking. And that has been really good. It's been better for my knees, and it's been less of a dread at the beginning of a race, and we've been really, really enjoying it. So I want to keep on walking versus running, but also being a part of the community, like being out on race days. I like that.
Yeah. That's really great.
I'd like to continue. I've been reading a lot. I include in reading like something that's controversial, unpopular opinion, maybe, audiobooks count. And that's
those totally count. Mm-hmm. Of course they count.
So altogether, I've, you know, read like 60 books this year, but only about, you know, I don't know, a little bit more than 10% of them were actual physical books. But just having the enjoyment of either reading myself or having someone read to me brings me a lot of joy. And also, I don't know, I think it's good for me. Feels good to me. And then the last thing that's been working a lot is doing a lot of meal planning. I did this the whole time my kids were growing up. I planned every week because I just couldn't take like the school schedule and all that without meal planning. And now that just me and Jim, we got into a habit for a while where I wasn't doing that. And it was just kind of like every day. So what's for dinner? And that was just the big dread. So I started meal planning again late summer, and it's been really good. It's been so lovely to just have food on hand that I can make. So anyways, those are kind of my intentions for the year.
No, that's wonderful. I love it. You put a lot of thought into it. I tend to bop from thing to thing to thing every day, week, month, year. And so I am not always focused enough. So I really love that.
So I'm interested to hear, I'm always inspired by other people's lists of things that they like. If other people have intentions on things, it makes me think, oh, maybe I would like to do that too. So I hope folks will, you know, share their New Year's resolutions. And it could be, you know, you could just have a picture of something you made and, you know, a resolve to make more things like this or something like that. Anything right. that you'd like to post, it would be lovely to see.
That's great. And if you want to support the show, you can hit us up at patreon.com/punkfrockers and support us at one of $3 value levels. We appreciate each and every one of you.
Yes. And with that, with the other than the first level, with the friends with benefits and friends with gifts levels, you get bonus episodes that you can hear from us every month.
Right. Absolutely. And you can also support us by rating us and reviewing us on your favorite podcaster. 5 stars only, please.
Okay, Jenny. I think it's about time. So we will.
See you next Tuesday.
The Punk Frockers is created, produced, and edited by Beverly Baptiste and Jenny Hassler. On Instagram, you can find the podcast at Punk Frockers. You can find Jenny at J.O. Hassler and Beverly at Weeds to Wildflowers. Our artwork and music is created and performed by Jim Duran. You can find him on Instagram and his website at jimduran.art.